So we are going to learn Vammika Sutta, discourse on the anthill. Thus have I heard, at one time the Lord was staying near Savatthi in the Jeta group in Anathapindika's monastery. Now at that time the Venerable Kumarakashyapa was staying in the blind man's group. Then when the night was far spent, a certain Deva with glorious skin, having illuminated the whole of the blind man's group, approached the Venerable Kumarakashyapa. Having approached, stood at one side. While standing at one side, this Deva spoke thus to the Venerable Kumarakashyapa: "Monk, monk, this anthill smokes by night, blazes up by day." The Brahmin speak thus, bringing a tool, clever one, dig it up. The clever one, digging when he had brought a tool, saw a bolt and said, "A bolt, revered one." The Brahmin spoke thus, "Take out the bolt, dig on, clever one, bringing a tool." The clever one, digging when he had brought a tool, saw a frog and said, "A frog, revered one." The Brahmin spoke thus, "Take out the frog, dig on, clever one, bringing a tool." The clever one, digging on, when he had brought a tool, saw a fork path and said, "A fork path." The Brahmin spoke thus, "Take out the fork path, dig on, clever one, bringing a tool." The clever one, digging on, when he had brought a tool, saw a strain and said, "A strain." The Brahmin spoke thus, "Take out the strain, dig on, clever one, bringing a tool." The clever one, digging on, when he had brought a tool, saw a tortoise and said, "A tortoise, reward." The Brahmin spoke thus, "Take out the tortoise, dig on, clever one, bringing a tool." The clever one, digging on, when he had brought a tool, saw a slaughterhouse and said, "A slaughterhouse." The Brahmin spoke thus, "Take out the slaughterhouse, dig on, clever one, bringing a tool." The clever one, digging on, when he had brought a tool, saw a piece of flesh and said, "A piece of flesh." The Brahmin spoke thus, "Take out the piece of flesh, dig on, clever one, bringing a tool." The clever one, digging on, when he had brought a tool, saw a cobra and said, "A cobra." The Brahmin spoke thus, "I'll let the cobra be, do not touch the cobra, do reverence to the cobra." If you, monk, having approached the Lord, were to ask him about these questions, then you should remember as the Lord explains to you. I, monk, do not see anyone in the world with its devas, with its maras, with its brahmas in creation, with its recluses and brahmans, its devas and men, who could turn his mind to expound in these questions except a Tathagata or a Tathagata's disciple or one who had heard from them. Thus spoke that deva and vanished then and there, having said this. Then the Venerable Kumarakashyapa approached the Lord towards the end of that night. Having approached, having greeted the Lord, sat down and respectful distance, and then told the Buddha what happened. So, having said the whole thing, then you can see in the next page it says, then he's asking from the Buddha, "Now what, Lord, is the anthill? What is smoking by night? What is blazing up by day? Who is the Brahman? Who is the clever one? What is the tool? What the digging up? What the bolt? What the frog? What the fork path? What the strain? What the tortoise? What the slaughterhouse? What the piece of flesh? What the cobra?" The anthill, monk, this is a synonym for the body made of these four great elements. Originated from mother and father, nourished on gruel and sour milk, of a nature to be constantly rubbed away, pondered away, broken up and scattered. So now we have marked the anthill as the great four great elements just underneath the birth. But you can also see an anthill over here. So this anthill, how it is pyramid type is constructed, From the coveting and greed, you draw four lines to the line, half speed, slant and reverse stroke. So there is this base over here. So then you get a pyramid. Inside that one, you can see there is another pyramid, the red one. How do we get that one? For the body tie of misapprehension, you draw four lines to the line, half speed, slant and reverse strokes. Then you get this one. Now, this one actually showing these two types of characters. One is this craving temperament person, and then the red one is the view temperament person. So, for a view temperament person, this one is getting bigger and bigger, and then it is coming up to this coveting and greed level. So, at that particular time, you see that if you ask a view temperament person, and what do you consider as this self, then he would be saying the all of it, you know, the form, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. Because this red one over here, it is taking up the whole pyramid over here. So if you ask a greed temperament person, then that person would be saying self is just the form or a feeling, one of them, and he is not taking the whole thing. So it is difficult to treat the view temperament person, and but there are medicines for that one as well. They need to practice the, you know, concentration, develop concentration, and then they, if they recall their past births, if they see, you know, they were like an ant or something in the past births, then the their conceit will go down, and then some other discourse will take them out of it. So you know the meditation part over here, four great elements. Excrement outside is not mine. Excrement inside is also the element of extension. So you cleanse your mind from the four great elements. That's what it means. And then whatever month the one thinks and thinks upon and ponders upon during the night, concerning the day's affairs, this is smoking by night. And then whatever affairs monk one says going by day, whether by body, speech or thought, having pondered, reflected upon them during the night, this is blazing up by the day. So that is us, isn't it? We are going to sleep, but you don't sleep. You are actually thinking, oh, tomorrow morning I have to take food to the temple and I have to make sandwiches for children and so on. And then in the morning, you are saying that, you know, like my head is blazing up over here. I have to do this work. So, and then Brahman, the monk, this is a synonym for the Tathagata, perfected one, fully self-awakened one. Clever one, monk, this is a synonym for a monk who is a learner. So learners mean that, you know, first stage of attainment, Sri Mentor, path and the fruit, once return, path and the fruit, never return, path and the fruit. And then the Arahant path, they are sort of learners. And then who has reached the Arahantship, and then who has destroyed cankers, and they are not learners. The tool monk, this is a synonym for the Aryan intuitive wisdom. Digging monk, this is a synonym for the effort. The bold monk, this is a synonym for ignorance. Take out the bold, get rid of the ignorance. Dig clever one, bringing a tool, this is the meaning of that. So we have written over here the number two, wisdom, and then the bolt is ignorance. This bolt is not the, you know, that door has got some sort of a lock that you are pushing down. Notice, not that one. And you might have seen that in early days, kitchen has got some sort of a door bar connecting two doors and the door frame. So here we are talking about the door bar. This Toba can be seen if you look at someone who has not attained. And then there is a Toba in this mental volition, that particular path. How do you get the Toba? You know, we have form over here. We spin with the barb of lust. And then when we spin the barb of lust, it's a wave going to the right side. And then when it comes to the right side, there is a barb of delusion. Now it is picking up that one and then it is spinning again. So it's now what is happening is that these two waves are meeting. And then when it meets, you sort of feel that there is something. You know that for a pond with still water, if you put a stone, then the wave is going and then hitting the wall and then coming back. So that two waves meeting together, then you sort of see something. In the sea also, you know, you see some sort of white, you know, when the water wave falls on the other one. It's just water, nothing else. So now a Doba can be seen of a person who has not attained to the noble level. So I can show you that Doba, and this diagram is we constructed for discussing Tayodhamma Sutta. Probably you may not have it. So you can see there's a green line over here, that there is this wrong view called Sakkaya Ditti. And then they have Vichikicca, doubt. And then they seal up the Paramasa. So there is this, because of the virtue and duty clinging, that we have this one. So now that is the Doba. Now you can see it is sort of joined to this 1.3 Moha, the ignorance, that bolt is there. So in the other words, it is joining the two frames and the middle part of it. So this can be shown a little bit further. Now you can see there is a, from the perception to the misapprehension, and then we are pointing your finger to the consciousness. So it's like the stick one. The stick one is the perception going to this one. And then there is another stick. You can see the contact as neutral one, come to the feeling, and then we have the mental volition. So that is the stick too. So when you are talking about spinning with the barb of lust, just imagining you are holding from the perception of end of it and then dragging to the left side. When you are spinning with the barb of delusion, just think you are holding from the mental volition point and then dragging into the right side. So what will happen? These two things that separated and sort of and then join in this way. So that is this joining part. And then this particular stick will rotate 90 degrees clockwise. That is because this covetousness over here will be joining with mental volition. So then you get a Doba. So problem here is that when you look at from the physical nutriment, you can't see the consciousness because there is a cupboard in between. If you look at from the consciousness side, you can't see the physical nutriment because of the cupboard. So now you can't understand that the problem that I have, is it because of the physical nutriment or the form, or is it because of the consciousness, because of this Doba. So now we are talking about removing this Doba. How do you do that? Because of these four great elements, you are saying excrement outside is not mine, excrement inside. Is there also the element of extension? It is not mine. So when then you get the characteristic of not self established within you, and therefore you get the wisdom, and then the Doba is removed. So remember, when you remove the Doba, still the door is there. So then the door will swing because of the wind. And then for the eye of wisdom, you will see this one, the toad. That is this anger and despair part over here. So that is what is mentioned next. The toad Monk, this is a synonym for the anger and despair. So remember that associate with anger. So another name is the anger and despair. And so I can tell you that when I sort of understood Dhamma to a certain extent, I told people working with me that people are angry. And they didn't understand at that time. Because what Buddha is saying, when someone get a, you know, some sort of a stress or something, then that person is beating the breast. So then the tendency to aversion will come to arise because of that. And that person does not know how to get rid of that one. Then that person is looking for something, you know, to looking for a sensual pleasures to get rid of this problem. Then the tendency to this lust is coming to arise with that one. One example is that people here in the office, when they have a stress, they are running for the machine. You know, I need chocolate, I need chocolate, I need coffee. So what will happen when you go for that one? That they are thinking at the problem that I have, I can get rid of that one by having a chocolate. So what happened? When you have chocolate and things, then, you know, tendency to attachment is there, and then you get another problem. And then if someone does not know the rising and passing away phenomena, then the tendency to ignorance come to arise. So one problem, they start create three problems. So you learn the Potaliya Sutra, 7th one is this one, that you can't live with fruit. And then you throw away the fruit, and then you are in the higher jhana concentration, space is infinite, and you can't live with that one either. So what is the solution here? Don't take anything apart from the Nibbana. That was the answer, isn't it? So then the thought will disappear. And then it says, the fork path, monk, this is a synonym for doubt. So the doubt has been marked over here. Now, a little while ago, we said that doubt was eliminated when the doba was removed, isn't it? But the Buddha is saying it is coming back. But this doubt is a different one. Previously, you had a doubt whether Buddha is enlightened, whether the Eightfold Path is correct or not. Now, this particular doubt is that, you know, Eightfold Path is now correct. Having attained, you have the attainment, and then your problem is, how do I use or practice this Eightfold Path? So if you ask someone, you know, you are asking sometimes, how do I meditate? So you ask someone who knows about it, then you can eliminate the doubt. So this doubt is actually five poles. The doubt is five poles because, you know, here, between counting and greed, there is this stinginess regarding the gain, which we have not written. You can write it down if you want, stinginess regarding gain. And over here, between birth and failing, stinginess regarding dwelling is there. And then when you are talking about dwelling, you are talking about houses, but here we are talking about this. This is the house of the consciousness. So then between aging and failing, there is stinginess regarding family. No, look at our family. Our family is, you know, which is subject to aging, isn't it? That's what we have selected for the family. And then between feeling and bodhitaya of misapprehension, we have stinginess regarding reputation. And then, between feeling and volition, we have stinginess regarding doctrine. So stinginess is fivefold. Therefore, this doubt also become fivefold. Let us take a couple of examples. Let us say, because of the gain, let us say you are buying something from the stock market. You are not sure whether it's going to go up or down. So there is doubt. Now, let us say that you are dying and then you are thinking, that is just regarding dwelling, you are actually thinking, am I going to get a, pleasant form in the next birth? So there is a doubt over there. Do I get my eye? Would I get my ear? So Sampati Mahabrahma says that anything to the right side of the mental volition become fivefold. So in other words, this lying become fivefold. Let us take example regarding the game. People are lying, isn't it? And let us take another example, stinginess regarding reputation. Let us say that you are fired from your job, and then you find another job somewhere, and then one of your friends are coming and asking you, are you still working in that old place? And then you are saying, no, I move out, I went to a different job. And you are not saying that you are fired because it's not good for your reputation. So everything over here become fivefold. So we know doubt, we know, and then how to get rid of doubt. So you need to ask someone who knows about it. And then it says, take out the fork part, get rid of the doubt, be clever and bring to it. And then it says the strainer, monk, this is a synonym for the five hindrances. So five hindrances, we have mark, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and worry, and the doubt. So doubt came back again, isn't it, for the third time. So the sensual desire, remember we learn about sensual desire. First that we talk about this, sensual means karma. That is the perception of beauty, pleasure, and then we have a plan, that thought, and then whatever the lust for that thought, that is actually the enjoyment part. And then here we were looking at that, you know, you want to construct a table, so you got wood pieces, cheap, and then you were happy, and then that was sensual desire. And then sensual desire can be further stated that there is a discourse, and that discourse is the Kaya Sutta, that is the nutriment for the hindrances. And then at Savatthi, Bhikkhu, just as this body sustained by nutriment subsists in dependence on nutriment and does not subsist without nutriment, so too the five hindrances sustained by nutriment subsist in dependent on nutriment and do not subsist without nutriment. And what we call is the nutriment for the arising of unarisen sensual desire and for the increase and expansion of arisen sensual desire. There is Bhikkhu, the sign of the beautiful, and frequently giving careless attention to his. It is the nutriment for the arising of unarisen sensual desire and for the increase and expansion of arisen sensual desire. So you can see there is this sign of beautiful. What is this sign of beautiful? That let us take a beautiful person so that you get the sign of beautiful. And frequently giving careless attention. What is that mean? That is, in Pali it is what is called ayanaso manasikara. So in other words, that this person is, 32 parts of the body, urine, excrement and so on. And then you are thinking that person has a beauty. So remember the perception of beauty. So by having this careless attention, then arisen sensual desire, and whatever the sensual desire you have, it come to increase and expand. So we learn the sensual desire in another way. It can be sort of explained in another way. You see, when I was small, I have eaten a particular curry, let us say pumpkin curry or something. And today I am saying that no one has cooked me such a curry. So whatever thing I have is about the curry that I have eaten when I was young, and that is memories and intentions. and the Pali word is sarasankapa. That can be represented from this birth feeling and the aging part over here, that area. And when whatever, let us say, pumpkin I'm eating today, and that can be represented by coveting and greed, feeling and birth. So these two areas won't match, because that when you were small, the aging was here nearby the birth. Birth is nearby the coveting and greed. So when they actually expand in this way, you can see that there is a difference here. So then, now what you are actually thinking is, because of the difference of feeling over here, you are thinking that I can actually fix it. So you establish your consciousness thinking that I can fix it. So that is actually sensual desire. An example would be that when you are eating, sometimes you are thinking it would be really good, a little bit of pickle is there or something. So having got the pickle in mind, that you keep on spinning. So this sensual desire is after the two rounds. The first round is over here, that I am eating the pumpkin, and then I am bringing, you know, when I was eating it small, when I was small, then this was the taste. So that is the second round. So you establish your consciousness thinking I can fix it, that sensual desire. And then having thinking that, you know, pickle in your mind, you keep on spinning. But you didn't have pickle, so then you get the ill will over here. And if you spin further, then you get the sloth and torpor. So that's how it is creating. So what is the solution for this sensual desire? This now what Buddha was saying, that because we have this careless attention. So let us give the careful attention. What is that? Because we were thinking it's beauty. Now you think about this one as a foul thing. You know, the ugly thing. It's the 32 parts of the body, excrement, urine and saliva and so on, that the meditation you just did in the morning. So when you understand that one, then the sign of beautiful will gone away. So that is the medicine for this one. That is the meditation. And then next one is the ill will. And Buddha is saying that and what we call is the nutriment for the arising of ill will and for the increase and expansion of arisen ill will. There is bhikkhu, the sign of the repulsive. Frequently giving careless attention to it is the nutriment for the arising of unarisen ill will and for the increase and expansion of arisen ill will. So here we are talking about the sign of repulsive. The sign of repulsive, for that one, what you need to take is that, you know, like my grandfather, his taste buds are gone. So now what is actually he is thinking, that is his careless attention, but is that he is thinking that if the people in the house make it this food, this proper way, then I can have the same feeling. But in other words, for the, you know, you are adding the permanency to the beauty, and then it becomes pleasure, isn't it? So we should not be taking it as pleasure. That was the problem. And when you are eating, when you are young, you have the pleasure. If you take it, then what will happen when you are old? You know that you no longer have that same taste, and that will create the ill will. So then the solution over here is that we should not be, the careless attention is that you are taking it as a pleasurable thing by adding the permanency. So you need to remove it. And so that is the solution for this ill will part. Now the taste buds are gone. So since the taste buds are gone, then what can you do? This is because of our former karma. So to get rid of the former karma, you should spread the loving kindness. So that is the meditation for this part. You know, the spread the loving kindness. Then you won't become grumpy. And then we have the sloth and torpor. So this is the sickness of the mind and sickness of the mental states. So in other words, this perception, feeling, that sort of things are sick. And from those things you construct this consciousness, then the consciousness becomes sick as well. You know that some people are, your children are watching TV and so on, then mom is coming and then switch off the TV and then say go and study. And are they sort of running to study? No, they just idling, isn't over there, like a lazy person. Why? Because they were subject to these sensual pleasures, and then they are sort of paralyzed. That's what is happening. So the sloth and torpor is like that. You are in a paralyzed state. Now, when you eat quite a lot of rice or whatever, your stomach is so much full, then you feel like sleeping, isn't it? But if you have a moderation in eating, in that sense, that you don't feel it. In other words, you are overly doing. That means you start with the sensual desire, you did not actually give up, you find that, there is a gap, what I was eating when I was young and what I am eating right now. So there is a gap. And then you did not stop over there, you spin another two rounds, then the ill will, another two rounds, the sloth and torpor come to arise. That is overly doing, not stopping. Like you are eating too much food. So there are two solutions to this one, the meditation time, what you need to do. The one is that you need effort to get rid of sloth and torpor. If you can't remember, you can write it down. The effort is needed. And then the other one is you need to pursue light. Sometimes when you are meditating, you feel like sleeping, isn't it? You like it, don't you? That I can tell you, there was a colleague of mine in Australia, and then he was telling me that he really liked to do meditation. I asked him why, because he said I can sleep very well. So don't give it to that one, because if you do that one, then the consciousness, as soon as you start this meditation, and it is putting you to sleep. You need to put effort, you need to think that, I slept in the morning, up to this morning, that this half an hour is mine. But to have the strong effort over here. The other one is this perception of light. That, in the lunchtime you have seen outside is very sunny. And then when you feel like, sleeping, then you recall your mind that in the daytime I saw this very strong sunlight, and then the sloth and torpor go away and you don't sleep. So those are the solution for this sloth and torpor, two of them. And then we have the restlessness and worry. They are, sometimes we put them together, and so it's like a balloon, balloon is, if you put on the floor, it is just shaking. Your mind is not getting concentrated. And we have separated them over here, restlessness and worry. For the restlessness, there is this, the condition and the cause, that the cause is that that the sense perceptions, what is called karma sanya, sense perception is the cause. And the condition for arising restlessness, there are two things. One thing is called lust provoking delight, and the other one is the gratifying faculty. The lust provoking delight means that, let us say, there is a slave, and to that slave's boss is saying that in this particular place there is this musical show is going on, and you go there and arrange chairs. But for any reason, if you listen to those songs, and then I will kill you. So that this slave is going to this place where they are playing songs and so on, singing. and then he arranged chairs, and then, you know, maybe the first row, and then he's putting the hand to the one of the chairs and listen to a song. And then he remember, the boss said that I will kill you if you do that one. So then he will leave out, listen to the song, and then arranging those chairs. So while arranging the next row also, then because his mind is now with the song, and he is going to the song, so his mind is not getting concentrated, because it's one time it is going to the arrangement of chairs, the other one, otherwise is going to this singing part. So the problem with that slave is that he is thinking that song is lasting. It does not last. So permanency is also playing a part over there. And then that is this lust provoking delight example. And then there is this gratifying faculty. The gratifying faculty is that you come here for attainment of the Nibbana, but along the way when you are doing this meditation, like, you know, this excrement is not mine and so on. Some people went to the fifth jhana, seeing this black space or seeing white light or something, color light or something. And then, so then you feel like sort of staying over there, looking at the light, and, you know, this perceiving this space is infinite, because it's there's happiness for you. So in other words, you know, rather than reaching the Nibbana, you are holding to a sort of a concentration and staying there. That is the gratifying faculty. So how do we get rid of these ones? If it is because of the lust provoking delight, that the slave's example, then you need to use like a skeleton meditation or something, so that you can take that person out of it. And then when you reach a concentration level, higher concentrations, and then you need to think, this is not what I want. What I want is Nibbana. So you focus your mind to Nibbana. So now you can see the final solution for restlessness, and the thought is the same thing, that don't take anything apart from the Nibbana. And then we have this worry over here. The remorse over the evil things that you have done is worry. Remorse over the evil things, that unwholesome things you have done, is defined as worry. And also the remorse over the wholesome things, remorse over the wholesome things that you could not do, could not achieve, is also worry. And let me take an example for the remorse over the wholesome things that you could not do. Let us say that you have to do an exam, so you study very well. And then you are going to the exam, and then there are 5 questions. You answer 3 of them, and then 2 more to go. And then you look at the watch, and then the time is over. Now you are thinking that, you know, what to do, that I studied very well, but I can answer these 2 questions, but I don't have time. So in English, this can be explained very well. It says that it is the state, that state of wondering what to do, that person is thinking at that time. Another example for remorse over the evil things that you have done, or unwholesome things you have done. Now let us say someone is thinking, although this Lalita is saying, you know, that the worms are in the garden, and is it, you know, in this particular spot? So you take some sort of equipment and dig. And then, you know, worm is splitting in half and then dying. So then next day you are going to meditate, and then you are taking your virtue. You are saying, I am refraining from killing. As soon as you said that one, you remember that incident of the killing that little worm. And then it is not easy to get out of that one. It's like a snake, or, you know, biting you keep on biting again and again. So what you need to do at that particular time, you need to take a decision that this is wrong. Then I have taken a decision that I am not going to do anymore. So that is what you need to do. But although you take that decision, I mean, you need to take it thoroughly. You know, if you have a mind that I will do this planting these trees or whatever thing tomorrow as well, then consciousness is aware that you are going to dig. So you can't get into the concentration. So second time also this one is coming. Then you recall that decision that I have taken such a decision. Third time is also coming. Then you recall to your mind, I understand that this is bad, so I took a decision that I'm not going to do it anymore. So then that one worry subsides. The worry also has got a condition and the cause. The condition is the tendency to views is the cause. And then the condition for worry is that unfulfilled knowledge. So I'll give you an example for the unfulfilled knowledge. When the Buddha was there that time, a monk got a drink and then that monk didn't want to drink it and gave it to the other monk. That monk died. And then this monk who gave the drink wanted to find out from the Buddha that is there any bad effect or bad karma out of this one. And then he asked Buddha, and then Buddha was asking, do you know? That means, do you know that it is poison? And then that monk said, I do not know. So then Buddha said, then there is no karma over there. There's no sort of breaking of a precepts or something. And then you would normally jump into a conclusion, if I do not know, then that is fine. But it doesn't work that way because, you know, even over here in the court also they are saying not knowing is not a excuse, you know. So I can give another example from the discourses. There was an instance where a Buddhist monk went to a house and there was a white cloth laid on a chair. He did not ask anyone and sat down on that chair. But underneath the cloth, there was a baby. And the baby died because of the monk's body weight. And then this monk went to the Buddha and asked, you know, is there any problems for me because of my doing that? Buddha said, yes. Buddha said, you should have asked. You know, if you ask the mom, then mom will say that don't sit down. So that is the unfulfilled knowledge. So now some of you may not have known that there are worms in the underneath the soil. So now I am actually saying there are worms underneath the soil. So unfulfilled knowledge you need to fulfill. So then you can get rid of the worry. And then the doubt, now we are coming to the doubt as a third one. So this doubt is a time where you are actually destroying your cankers or taints. So for you to meditate on that one at that particular time, you should know the arising phenomena of doubt. There are two of them. One is sloth and torpor. The other one is the worry. So then you are going backward, you know, the inverse direction, that I have the doubt and this doubt is because of the sloth and torpor. And then you understand the sloth and torpor is because I am spinning two rounds after the ill will. And the ill will because I am spinning two rounds after the sensual desire. And the sensual desire is because I am spinning two rounds after physical nutriment. So now you can see the doubt is arising because of the physical nutriment. So again, you are looking at this doubt is there. It is because of the worry. And the worry is because of the sloth and torpor. So sloth and torpor is because I am spinning two rounds after the ill will. and then the ill will, because I'm spinning two rounds after the sensual desire. Sensual desire is because I'm spinning two rounds after the physical nutriment. And then you can see the doubt is because of physical nutriment. So the meditation at the point of worry is a bit difficult, because we are looking at one path over here, but there are so many paths leading to worry. Because of the wrong view, you get the worry. Because of derogation, you get worry. Lack of virtue lead to worry as well. Union with the space in things lead to worry as well. So it's about 12 paths are there. But you can actually look at one path, that sloth and torpor lead to worry. So that is what we analyze at the doubt point. So then you got rid of this strainer, and then take out the strainer, get rid of 5 hindrances, the clever one, bringing a tool. This is a meaning of that. The tortoise monk, this is a synonym for the 5 grasping groups. That is to say, for the group of grasping after material shape, feeling, perception, original formation, and consciousness. So we have marked that tortoise over here. The 5 aggregate subject to clinging, that is, over here you can say physical nutriment, that is the form, the green one, feeling, perception, volitional formation, and consciousness. You can see it is actually a shape for tortoise as well, isn't it? That this physical nutriment part is the mouth of the tortoise, and this is the body, you know, that perception, feeling, volitional formation, consciousness. So, you have done this meditation on the first day. Remember, we were talking about in the concentration meditation, we were saying you do the meditation about the arising and passing away phenomena of the form and feeling. And I asked you not to do this perception part. So, today, now since your mind is sort of grown, so you can do that part. You know, when you were looking at yesterday afternoon, that the excrement is outside, it is the element of extension and it is not mine. Excrement inside, the element of extension, it is not mine. So when you do that one, some people went to that space is infinite level of concentration. So when you go there, then at that particular time, then you... what happened when you feel seeing delight in that thing, you know, perception, that the space is infinite. So now that is a perception. So now you contemplate the arising and passing away phenomena of perception. How do you do that one? This perception, you seek delight in that perception. Welcomes and remain whole to it. By doing that one, delight in perception come to arise. And the delight in perception is clinging, clinging as condition, the existence. Existence as condition, the birth. And the birth as condition, then aging, sorrow and all those things are coming to be. In other words, you will be born in the, you know, space is infinite, in that plane. And then, you look the other way around, then one does not seek delight in perception, does not welcome, does not remain or hold into it. Then the delight in perception ceases. And with the cessation of delight comes the cessation of clinging. With the cessation of clinging, cessation of existence. And the cessation of existence, cessation of birth. So this whole mass of suffering come to arise, you won't be born in the spaces infinite or whatever those planes. So that's how you do. And actually, what is it? That is the arising and passing means impermanent. In other words, you understand the perception is impermanent at that time. If you do it correctly, then you probably feel your right side of this, your forehead. And then, so that means this tortoise is removed. And They have given a name, tortoise. Why it is? What is the characteristic of tortoise? It is actually living longer, isn't it? 600 years or so. And then, and again, when it is actually having something, and take it and hide it. We are also like that one. You know, husband and wife is going, and in front of you, there's a beautiful woman or a man is coming. And then sort of you grab that sign and features, and then it is hidden inside, and it is lasting for, you know, many time. Some people are saying, no, I'm not doing it. But if you are saying that one, then for the every birth, you must have been married to the same person. But it is not like that one. If you recall your past births, then you would see that, you know, one time it is your mother, the other time your daughter, the other time your wife. So it's like, you know, the cats and dogs. So we learn tortoise, and then we learn the meditation over here. And then it says that take out the tortoise, get rid of five grassy groups. Big clever one bringing it all. This is a meaning of that. The slaughterhouse month is a synonym for the five strands of sensual pleasures. That is the four material shapes, cognizable by the eye, agreeable, pleasant, like, enticing, connected with sensual pleasures and alluring. Similarly, that this one, four sounds, four smells, four savors, four touches, the cognizable by the body, agreeable, pleasant, like, enticing, connected with sensual pleasures and alluring. So here we have marked the slaughterhouse, and also we have written it as a chopping block over here, and that is five strands of sensual pleasures over here. This is the steering wheel, isn't it? So at the spot of steering wheel, it is marked. So it's like that you take a piece of meat from in a slaughterhouse, and then you chop it, and then say this part is good for my eye, and then you chop another one, then you get a sound, this is good for my ear. You chop another one, this is good for my tongue, and then you chop another one, and so on. So you are saying that, you know, this is good for my body, and so on. So, and the medicine for that one is already there, isn't it? Because of the contact, this one come to arise. And if there is no contact, then this one will go away. And then piece of flesh, monk. This is a synonym for the passion of delight. So we have marked the piece of flesh as a passion of delight over here. Nandiraga is the Pali word. So at this particular point, you can do that meditation that you were doing, coveting and greed meditation. You see that over here that you have sensual desire, and then if you extend that line, you get the aging. That means your sensual desire is for aging. And if you like aging, then you like sickness and death. And what you have over here is the delight. That means I am happy to be born after death. For what? That is a stinginess regarding the gain. So that was the part of the meditation, but this here what we have written is a passion of delight. Nandiraga is little bit different. That is Sakkaya Ditti, that own body view, has got some sort of a pleasure in it. An example to explain this one is that let us say husband and wife is there, young couple, and the baby is there. So let us say wife is not earning money, husband is going to work and earning money. So wife is cooking and then, you know, feeding the baby and look after the baby. And they live a life. And then unfortunately, let us say husband died because of, you know, accident or something. Now their life is shattered, and then now wife, what is she doing? She will cook something like a steamhoppers or some sort of a food she will make and then sell it, and then sort of, you know, teach her son or daughter. the baby. And then now this baby has now become an engineer or a doctor. And then so this mom is saying, although husband died, I did not let it go. I made this steam purpose or whatever thing, and I sold it, and then I sort of let her become her or he become a doctor or something. So when she was actually expressing that one, what is she? She's happy, isn't it? Say that one. So they this wrong view has got a delight inside it. So that is this passion of delight. So to get rid of this one, you really need to understand this part. Aging. First to aging. You normally think that I know aging, but what you are actually talking about the aging of this form, body. But it's not only the aging of the form, there is the aging of the feeling and the perception, volitional formation and consciousness as well, which we are not going to study in this course. We are studying that one in a more advanced course. So, but I can tell you how to meditate over here. You have a picture frame in your house. You know that you have bought something, and then you hang it so that people can see, and you are proud of it. And then one day, we are going to dust it out. Dust is there, so remove it. And when you are dusting, you see in the picture frame that there is a metal nail or something. These things are coming out, rotten, damaged. Just because this nail is, rusty, are you actually throwing out the whole picture frame? No, what you are actually doing is you take some paint or something and cover it up. And then next week or so, you are coming to dust it out again. And when you come over there, would you look at the picture or would you look at the rusted nail? You are looking at the rusted nail because whether these things is coming out of this one. So you don't get the same feeling. The original picture is good and you had the feeling. You don't have the same feeling. So you can see this feeling was subject to aging in that sense. And then when the feeling has that aging part, then there is this aging of the perception. Because what one feels is what one perceives. From that aging perception, you construct volitional formations. They have the aging part as well. And an example would be my grandfather was saying that if you cook these curries with, turmeric powder, and then he had a sort of formula, if you do that one, then it will be tasty as before. So, let us say we do that one. Even if you do that one, his taste buds are gone and you can't get that one. So then you can see this, there's this volitional formation, sanskar, making the curry and so on. And that one has got aging as well. And then from that volitional formation, you construct consciousness. Then the consciousness has got aging as well. So what is this picture frame? That is you. Every day you are going in front of the mirror and they are looking at whether the rust rusty thing is coming out, whether I got a pimple, whether my wrinkles are coming out. So that is this rusty part over here. So rather than throwing it out, then you apply some sort of a cream and something like that one. That's what we do, isn't it? So having applied this phenomena to the picture frame and then apply to yourself that you are the one in every day. That is what you see, this rusted nail is there. So then the coveting and greed meditation, you do that one and then look at the picture frame and apply to yourself. And then Buddha says this, take out the piece of flesh get rid of the passion of delight, declare one bringing a tool. That is the meaning of that. The cobra monk, this is a synonym for a monk whose cankers are destroyed. So here we have mark number 10. The cobra is a synonym for a monk whose cankers are destroyed. But this has to be written on the top, isn't it? But we have already written. We have written the Sampati Mahabrahma, the Arahant over here. Thus spoke the Lord, delighted the Venerable Kumarakashyapa, rejoicing what the Lord hath said. And this is the discourse on the ant hill. What are we actually talking about in this one? What Buddha is actually showing you? You know, the Potaliya Sutta was for you to actually stop the vehicle from rotating. Now, what are we talking over here? We are talking about the dismantling the vehicle. You know, you are going to remove parts by parts. So what is the first part you have to remove? That is this, you know, there is a link in between the birth and feeling. That axle is the one you are going to remove. How? The four great elements. You know, excrement outside is not mine. Excrement inside is also the element extension. It is not mine. So you cleanse your mind from four great elements. Then because this excrement urine, then you are not going to make a house from that one. So you can see the stinginess regarding the dwelling, that particular part. You are not going to dwell upon this excrement and so on. And also that it will remove the door bar, because you get the not self, you know, characteristic of not self established thoroughly in your mind that these things are not mine. You got the wisdom. Then the doba is removed. When the doba is removed, and then for the eye of wisdom, you can see the door is swinging, so then you can see the toad. So the answer for that toad, that is Potaliya Sutta, that the last seventh one, I can't live from a fruit, I can't live throwing out the fruit in the space is infinite or level of concentration. So then if you remove that, then what you need to do, that since I can't live in any of these things, then don't take anything apart from the Nibbana. So that is the answer. When the toad is removed, what you get is this doubt. So it is coming out as the second time. And at this particular time, now you can see it is the doubt is, that how can I do the meditation? You understand the Eightfold Path is correct, but how do I do the meditation? So you ask someone who knows about it. So then the doubt can be eliminated at that point. But it is coming back again. It's coming back with the sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and worry and doubt. So what is the medicine for sensual desire? So that is these 32 parts of the body, hair of the body, nails, teeth and so on. And why are we actually doing it again? When you are saying four great elements, we are saying excrement outside is not mine, so you went through the 32 parts. But remember that we were talking about there is a bridge between this sort of self to the permanency, and from your conceit you will do this bridging. Sorry, yesterday. So when you are actually saying that over here these things are not mine, then self is gone, then bridge is broken. And the permanency, normally when there is permanency inside your mind, then you cannot see ugly things or foul things as foul. One good example is, let us say your grandmother is sick, and then you go there and then people are saying this grandmother did not get up from the bed for the last 2 years. And then you think, oh, this grandma is going to die. And then you are only coming out of the room, then you see someone is, you know, taking a nice baby, wrapping and going. And then you are saying, oh, like a light is coming up on baby. And you did not apply what you apply to the grandmother. Because why? The grandmother is dying, the baby is living. So since the permanence is there, that you cannot see the excrement as excrement. And if the baby is putting vomit out or something, then you see how this is disgusting. So the permanency is sort of making you, not letting you see that the, you know, foul nature of the body. So when you remove the permanency, then you can actually go into a higher concentration. You know, some people, when they go into the spaces in finite level, they just go there, see some sort of gray color, and they come back. Some people go to the deep space. So when you go to deep space, it is easy to destroy cankers. So if you do it that particular time, you know, excrement and these things are not mine, because the permanence is gone to a certain extent, then you can go to the deep space. And for the ill will, what is the medicine for the ill will? That is that you need to have the metta, loving kindness. And the sloth and torpor, we mentioned two things. One thing is that effort should be there, and then you need to pursue light. You know, that lunchtime I saw this, it was very sunny. So then this sloth and torpor will be gone. The restlessness that we were mentioning, that there are two things. One is the lust provoking delight. The other one is the gratifying faculties. For the lust provoking delight, that I gave example of a slave. So if it is the case, then you need to use this skeleton meditation or something. And then you make him, you know, rise out of that state. And then you are in the concentration level. Now you need to think. Rather than getting stuck over there, you should focus on the Nibbana. What I need is Nibbana. So then the gratifying faculty part is gone. And that is the restlessness. For the worry, because of the unfulfilled knowledge, so you need to fulfill the knowledge. For the doubt, this is coming up as the third time. So now you need to know, this is the time that one would be destroying cankers. So you need to know the arising phenomena, that is the sloth and torpor and the worry. So then now you look backward. This doubt that I have is because of the sloth and torpor. The sloth and torpor is because of I am spinning after the ill will, two rounds. Ill will, because I am spinning two rounds after sensual desire. Sensual desire is because I am spinning two rounds after physical nutriment. So then the doubt is because of the physical nutriment. You know, in the supermarket, you buy some sort of equipment, let's say liquidizer, you are not sure whether this one will work, you know, until you go home and plug it in. So there's a problem with the form. And then again, you look at doubt is because of the worry. So you are going worry because of sloth and torpor, going back, and then you see physical nutriment is the problem. And then for the tortoise, the solution would be to contemplate the rising and passing away phenomena of perception. One seek delight, one welcome, one remain holding. So if you are not doing that one, does not seek delight, does not welcome, does not remain holding, then this delight ceases. Then you will be born in the spaces infinite or high level of jhana planes. So when you remove that one, then you get this chopping block or slaughterhouse thing. The solution is over here. That is because of the contact that we get. So with the cessation of contact, then we get it off. That means you are removing the steering wheel of the vehicle. And then you get this piece of flesh, that is a passion of delight. So for at that particular time, you do that coveting and greed meditation part, sensual desire. And that one is, when you extend that line, you see the aging. So your sensual desire is for aging. If you like aging, then you like sickness and death. And then what is over here? Delight is there. That means I am happy to be born after death. For what purpose? Is the stinginess regarding the gain? Or that is because of that rotten mango. Now, you need to go a little bit further. And then you need to understand this aging part to get rid of this passion of delight. So then use that picture frame example and then apply to yourself. If you do that one, then you are removing this axle over here, birth to coveting and greed. In other words, you are no longer joining with physical nutriment. So then you become an arahant. That's what it meant. So now this is a sequence of meditations that you have done most of those things. So it is arranged in certain order. So that's what you do. So you start with the four great elements and go on. So let us take 20 minutes for you to have a discussion, and then we will do the meditation.